B2B et B2C ont-ils droit à une exposition médiatique proportionnelle à leur importance? J'observe au contraire que la couverture média du B2C est disproportionnée, notamment dans le domaine des hautes technologies. Ceci s'explique sans doute par le fait que les médias, pour plaire aux lecteurs, se focalisent sur des anecdotes faciles à comprendre, embellies de titres accrocheurs et évocateurs pour ces publics. Pour mieux comprendre la raison de ce déséquilibre, Visionary Marketing a demandé à Dave Sobel, animateur du podcast Business of Tech et acteur reconnu des services informatiques aux entreprises, de faire toute la lumière sur ce sujet.
Des interviews, des chiffres, des faits, des études. Pas de blabla, ce sont les podcasts de Visionary Marketing disponibles sur toutes les bonnes chaînes de balado-diffusion.
Bonjour, je suis Yann Gourvenec. Le sujet du jour, B2B et B2C. Pourquoi le B2B compte et mérite une plus grande couverture médiatique? Un sujet de Mandy Phillips pour le compte de Visionary Marketing. Je suis actuellement étudiante, c'est Mandy Phillips qui parle bien entendu, à l'université, sur le point d'obtenir mon diplôme et l'heure est venue de trouver un emploi lucratif dans un secteur porteur. Tous les étudiants sont confrontés à cette situation et je ne dois pas être la seule à être un peu tendue. C'est en effet l'aboutissement de toutes mes années d'études et je vois mes amis plus âgés décrocher des emplois dans des entreprises telles qu'Apple et Facebook. J'admets indéniablement que le fait de dire que l'on travaille pour un géant de la technologie a de l'allure et fait tourner les têtes. Mais ce podcast sur les services informatiques B2B et leur comparaison au B2C m'a incité à approfondir mes recherches et à remettre en question mes objectifs de recherche d'emploi, largement influencés par ce que j'ai entendu répéter autour de moi. Tout au long de mes études de commerce, on m'a appris à penser uniquement en référence aux consommateurs. Que veulent-ils? De quoi ont-ils besoin? Ce modèle commercial est communément appelé « business to consumer » B2C ou « direct to consumer ». Un modèle où une entreprise se concentre sur la vente de produits ou services directement au client final. Je n'avais auparavant jamais pensé aux services inter-entreprises, notamment dans le secteur des technologies. Le business to business, B2B, concerne les entreprises qui effectuent une transaction commerciale avec une autre entreprise, qu'il s'agisse d'un service, d'un produit ou d'une collaboration. Vous trouverez dans l'article associé à ce podcast une infographie réalisée par Mandy qui décrit brièvement la différence entre le B2B et le B2C, selon elle. Je me souviens vaguement d'un de mes professeurs qui a mentionné ce mot B2B, c'est toujours Mandy Phillips qui parle, brièvement au milieu d'une phrase en passant, puis a poursuivi sa leçon. Remarquez, n'importe qui aurait pu écrire cette phrase. Il ne m'a pas aidé à évaluer l'importance du B2B et sans doute que personne dans cette classe n'a eu l'idée de se poser la question non plus. Les étudiants apprennent comment les entreprises s'approvisionnent en matériaux pour leur production ou comment elles externalisent la fabrication des produits. Mais cela semble toujours évoqué comme un simple prologue à la sortie d'un produit destiné aux consommateurs. Mes camarades et moi-même sommes donc encouragés à intervenir au point culminant de l'histoire du produit et à commercialiser, vendre et livrer aux consommateurs. On parle peu des services B2B après la fabrication du produit et on ne met pas l'accent sur les opportunités B2B actuelles. En outre, les médias grand public qui parlent de ces sujets ne sont pas légion. Je pense, c'est toujours Mandy Phillips qui parle, que si je n'ai pas reçu un enseignement suffisamment approfondi sur le B2B, c'est peut-être aussi parce que les médias n'y prêtent pas suffisamment attention. En effet, ces derniers ont tendance à se concentrer sur le B2C et, comme celui-ci concentre l'attention du plus grand nombre, on pense à tort qu'il est le véritable moteur du commerce, qu'il génère plus de revenus et donc qu'il est plus important. Dave Sobel, animateur de l'émission Business of Tech, un acteur de premier plan dans la prestation de services informatiques, a fait de cette disparité son métier. Dans ce podcast réalisé par Visionary Marketing, Sobel explique en substance que ce phénomène s'explique par le fait que le B2B est plus ardu. Comprendre les niches au sein du B2B est très complexe. Il y a aussi le défi supplémentaire de rendre ces sujets professionnels digestes pour le grand public. Le B2B est d'abord difficile et demande beaucoup de temps, d'attention et de travail. Ce n'est pas nécessairement la tasse de thé des journalistes qui essaient de toucher les masses et d'intéresser le consommateur final. Le monde de la high-tech en particulier est attiré par les sujets universels, qu'il s'agisse des derniers gadgets à la mode ou l'endroit où sera implantée la prochaine usine Tesla. Les gens adorent lire les articles sur les start-up et les bidules technologiques, mais ont tendance à ignorer le secteur des services, et en particulier ceux qui s'adressent aux entreprises. Le fait de se concentrer sur des sujets généralistes rend ainsi marginal la publication de billets sur des sujets de niche, dont ceux relatifs aux services B2B. Afin de mieux comprendre les services B2B, Sobel suggère un test. Demandez à n'importe quelle entreprise quels sont les fournisseurs qui l'accompagnent dans sa mise en place des technologies logicielles ou matérielles. Vous vous rendrez ainsi compte que ces métiers, je cite Sobel, concernent un nombre incroyable d'entreprises petites ou grandes. Dans ces entreprises, le travail implique un leadership fort, une gestion de projet au cordeau, des compétences techniques en vente et en marketing. En particulier, c'est dans le domaine des compétences techniques que les besoins en recrutement sont incroyablement nombreux, nous dit-il, et les besoins de nouveaux profils importants. Il peut également être intéressant de commencer dans l'une de ces petites organisations, puis de gravir progressivement les échelons. Ce qu'il faut retenir, c'est que pour chaque dollar vendu, c'est toujours David Sobel qui nous le dit, il n'y a que 8 dollars de service en moyenne. Mais pour une entreprise comme Microsoft, c'est 12 dollars de service pour chaque dollar vendu. Dans l'ensemble, les entreprises B2B ont tendance à être plus performantes que les entreprises B2C, nous dit-il. Si l'on fait abstraction du discours financier, Dave Sobel fait remarquer que le secteur des services en B2B offre de nombreux défis intellectuels à relever. Par exemple, en surface, les projets d'intégration autour des données de santé peuvent sembler terriblement ennuyeux. Pourtant, une autre manière de regarder ce thème est d'y entrevoir le défi de mettre des données vitales à disposition tout en préservant la confidentialité des données qui transitent d'un système d'information à un autre. Voilà un exemple de résolution d'une question complexe dans le cadre des services B2B. Et une telle solution permet d'aider les nombreux acteurs d'un processus professionnel qui a plus de valeur qu'une application jetable de retouche de photos, nous dit Sobel. Les apparences sont parfois trompeuses. Pour la même raison que nous ne pouvons tous devenir des joueurs de football professionnels, il est nécessaire de comprendre que des opportunités réelles se cachent derrière des sujets apparemment ennuyeux. C'est quand on décide de les approfondir que ces sujets-là deviennent passionnants. Les emplois dans les services en B2B peuvent être lucratifs et intéressants. Il y a de la beauté dans la complexité et un avenir à saisir dans la compréhension de cette complexité. Une fois que j'aurai obtenu mon diplôme, c'est Mandy Phillips qui parle bien entendu, j'ai l'intention de me tourner vers une carrière dans les services B2B et les étudiants qui me lisent feraient bien d'en faire autant. Nous les laissons maintenant en compagnie de Dave Sobel pour le podcast original en anglais. Bonne écoute.
Well, I'm here with Dave Sobel. Hi, Dave. You're talking from Virginia. You're the host of the Business of Tech podcast, and you're an expert in IT, MSPs. Well, I've heard your CV on YouTube. Actually, it was so exciting, and I couldn't stop it. So it was jam-packed with things and anecdotes and everything. And there's one thing that I particularly liked in your video is that you said that in the newspapers and in the media in general, they were just talking about the big guys and the stuff which is good for all the gadgets for B2C, you know, and everything in the middle was sort of lost to them. And yet, this is where it happens, you said. And I really like you to tell me about this and why and maybe evaluate how much we're losing there between these big tech guys and then the small fry.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I get so excited about talking about this. So I've been in the tech space my entire career. And so where I think it's interesting is I can quote some initial stats. For every dollar of sales force that's sold, there's $8 of services. For every dollar that Microsoft sells, there's like $12 of services. And I draw this sort of media triangle, and I always talk about the fact that business tech loves the stories that are broad, right? They if we think about like the Wall Street Journal, BBC Finance, like all of these areas, they love big tech stories. They love consumer products. They love gadgets. We like talking about Apple and Microsoft and Facebook and all of those companies. That's what they talk about, but they rarely talk about services. Then I go over to the tech press and a version of that, and it's kind of the same story. We love Silicon Valley. We love startups. We love products. We love gadgets. But we don't love services. And then too often in the services space, there's actually it becomes kind of pay to play, where those are much more about being leads than they are about talking content. But for me, the services piece of technology is so important. If you're a typical business owner, you are interested in technology, you understand that you're going to leverage it in your business, yet you're going to be working with somebody to make it effective. Like that's just the way this all goes. And so understanding that space, that services space that I've spent my career in, that's now what I do from a coverage perspective. And so I try and look at the news in the market and then make determinations going, okay, I'm going to pull some stories and I'm going to pull some pieces. I'm going to tell you why this matters for services companies.
Mm-hmm. Now, so this is what you're doing with the business of tech. And why do you explain that so much of the business is going unawares then? Because it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're interested in the economics, you're interested in the numbers. And if and it doesn't really add up. I mean, I was trying to find out how much B2B was weighing in e-commerce, for instance. And then, we found the numbers in the UK and it amounts to 80%.
Right. It's huge. It's huge. Well, so let's start off with it's hard, right? Like these are oftentimes areas that are difficult. There's a reason. Now, I always quip on my show, I like hard problems because in mystery, there is margin. I can make money in hard things. And so it's hard. So if you're a journalist trying to figure something out, it's easy to talk about a product that can go into a consumer's hand. But it's really hard to talk about some service offering or the implementation of a technology as a service and how that's going to result in outcomes for the business. Like, that's hard. I get it. But that doesn't mean it's not the actual meat of how this stuff happens. So it's hard. It takes a good deal of time and attention and research. And that's not necessarily a broad engagement when you're thinking about kind of news and journalism. You're trying to make it really broad. You're trying to make it interesting to an end consumer. By the way, they do great journalism on things like the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal. Like, I'm not dissing on that. I think but they are trying to go so broad and they can't necessarily handle every niche that's out there. Yeah. So smaller media companies like mine can go in and say, we're just going to focus on this one area and we're going to be really good at it. And that's what we're going to do.
And don't you have some special news websites and news media dedicated to certain niche services or managed service providers or
there's a number of different media offerings. My particular focus was to focus on podcasting and then video content. Because again, I think that's kind of the future. I think that's the way media is going, and people are proving to really like slightly longer form content for analysis, but also short form news content. The business of tech's kind of big innovation was that it's a 5-minute daily. And it's designed to be easy to consume, that you can listen to the daily show on your podcast catcher of choice, and you can get 5 minutes and get some news and actionable insights every single day. And over time, of course, it builds a whole knowledge of insights and perspectives and trends. And then we use the bonus episodes and some of the video long form stuff to go deeper into a topic. We want to explore crypto, for example, and like, does it apply to IT services? We want to explore e-commerce trends. We want to explore marketing trends. We want to explore. So we'll use the longer form content to do that.
Okay. Very interesting. We'll make sure that people can actually subscribe to your podcast from the piece we will publish. Now, okay, I understand that this niche that we've described is in fact very big and then generates a lot of money. I suppose there are lots of jobs as well associated with this.
There are tons of jobs with it. So I always, if anybody is interested in understanding this space, I always tell anyone interested to play this game for the next 2 weeks. In your life, every business that you encounter, I want you to ask, hey, who helps with your technology or who helps with your computers? You'll always, always find a spectrum. A lot of time it's a company, right? So it's a company that's involved with some outsourcer or some bid, and you'll ask your dentist, you'll ask your doctor, you'll ask the people at the, you know, at the local mom and pop stores that you visit, like your, any of your professional relationships, your accountant, like all these people you'll find, there's probably some company all the way down to it's one or two independent consultants that do that, that work. That's the space that I'm talking about. And those are all businesses, right? Those are all businesses, and they have a lot of different components. There's the leadership element of it. There's, of course, the technical piece of that job, project management. There's sales and marketing. There's all the bits that go into running a business all in those businesses. So you're exactly right. There's tons of jobs here, and particularly on all the technical skills, you know, we're – technology is desperate for more people. You know, the quickest way is saying, like, I have some technical skills. Wow, they are in demand right now in terms of this entire space.
Okay. Is that only true for engineers, or is it also true of marketeers and salespeople and people like that?
Yes, and yes. You know, obviously the lead is always some level of technical skills. But by the way, there's a whole element of customer service that goes along with this. And you can learn technical skills. And oftentimes, if you come with really great customer service skills, they can be applied in this space. So yeah, from a job perspective, so much opportunity here. And they can be great, you know, you can start and then move up in these small organizations very quickly and take on more and more responsibility.
Okay, so I think we're on the same page. There's a lot of money. There are loads of jobs to grab out there. And yet, when you talk to your average student, be it in business school or engineering schools, they're not very excited about, you know, service like this, B2B services. They're more into, well, consumer services or consumer products. They think it's easier. So what should we say to them?
Well, so the answer, my answer to that is look, I get it. I get the hype. But for the same reason that we may not all be professional football players, you need to understand that the actual opportunity is in lots of really boring things. But what's interesting to me about these quote unquote boring things is they become really fascinating when you go deep. The reason they're not as interesting to you is because you do not understand the complexity. And complexity is really fascinating because you can then solve problems in lots of neat, interesting ways. And the further you get into a complex idea, the more you find their subtlety. That's the power. And so, yeah, at first glance, you may not think that that's interesting. You do not understand enough to understand why it's interesting. And so I always tell people, like, I use this example and say, like, you know, medical data processing integration sounds really, really boring, right? But when you get into the subtlety of, like, how are we going to properly handle patient data as it moves between systems? We want to protect people's privacy, yet at the same time make that information available. It's like, oh, wait a second, that's a really interesting intellectual challenge. Oh, and by the way, we're helping people. Like, we're actually helping people get really great medical care, as opposed to selling them some disposable, you know, photo editing app or it's like what's actually making a difference in people's lives. And we hear all the time, particularly from young people, that they want to be in areas that make a difference. You know, they want to be in jobs that make a difference. Well, here it is. Like, it's in these subtle problems of the way services are delivered to people. That's where some really interesting stuff happens.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for this passionate plea for B2B services. Now I know what to say to my students and how to motivate them. Thank you very much indeed.
Happy to help. Thanks for having me.
Surtout, n'oubliez pas de mettre une bonne note à ce podcast si vous l'avez apprécié.